Several years ago, we received a mail gift catalog in the mail, and from a well-known jewelry company that's no longer there anymore. But I was flattered because it was sent to me so personally. Inside was a personal letter signed by the CEO and the president of this company. And it starts off, "Dear William." And then it starts explaining the quality of all their jewelry that they sell. On the catalog cover is a beautiful photo of this diamond necklace for only $275,000. And then on page 8, they had the pearls. A set of Tahitian pearls for only $128,000. That's more than we paid for our house back then. Well, I know this is some dream material for most of us, but it's leading to a question that I have today. Have you ever had a pearl of great price? Have you ever had a pearl of great price? And that's the title of this split sermon, A Pearl of Great Price. I'm going to show you in this split sermon that you have this pearl of great price within your grasp. That's right. You and I have been offered a great treasure if we will just sell everything and go after it. When I first met my wife-to-be 58 years ago in her hometown of northern Italy, the foot of the Alps, it was to me like finding a pearl of great price. I was a 23-year-old soldier who had met this young Italian girl. She was not only pretty, but vivacious, bright, and when she looked at me with those beautiful brown eyes, I felt that I had her undivided attention. And then I ran out of things to say. Of course, it was difficult because I was learning Italian and she didn't speak any English. So that's the way I had to communicate in Italian 58 years ago. It didn't take long to realize that I had a treasure. And so I set out to sell everything and have this treasure. Some of you have heard our story, but there were many obstacles to overcome. And I had to return to the States without her, and then I had to convince her parents and her favorite aunt, who was kind of with her on this, that I would be a worthy husband. Then her favorite aunt had me checked out face to face with a personal interview with the Italian consul in Los Angeles. It was more of a kind of a mild inquisition. Then there were forms and more forms and police checks and all kinds of paperwork. And just when I thought I had the last one to mail out to them, then they had another one. The Italian government at that time, they seemed to thrive on all of this bureaucracy. They would ask one after another, and everything had to be sent to them in Italian. So if it was an English thing I had to send out, we had to transfer that into Italian. So I did all the paperwork I could in the States because it was getting tired and I needed some rest. So I was going to wait until after we were married, if that time ever came. The next problem, I suddenly got laid off from my job. So that's one of the risks of when you're working in the aerospace, because a lot of the government programs are large programs. And so if they cancel a program all of a sudden, a lot of money comes out of the company and you're out the door. And I'd been with that company for under 90 days, and so I was one of the people that was immediately let go. And while I was dealing with all these things and problems, my wife-to-be had her own set of things to do going on in Italy. At the age of 19, she was dealing with the paperwork of getting a passport and convincing her parents that I would make a decent husband. And then we would fly 7,000 miles to Southern California, leaving her place. And while her mother was thinking she could have married somebody right here in town. Finally, there was light at the end of the tunnel because her sister was married. And the date was set for our wedding. So then I got my passport and I borrowed money from my dad for the trip since I was unemployed. And a little extra fare because I had no idea of how long it was going to take to finish all that paperwork once I got there. And then a scary event happened. The Berlin Crisis came out in 1959. Many of you probably won't know about that. But it broke out, and I was nearly called back into the army right away, forced back into the army, because of some intelligence work that I had done just before I left Europe, and that was in Germany. So anyway, I was very thankful that that didn't happen, because that would have blown the whole marriage thing if this had happened. So what else could go wrong, we thought. After all, we had gone through. This is where I learned to pray, really pray, years before I ever came across God's truth. Well, finally the day arrived. I flew to Italy to reach and take my pearl of great price. 1 week after I arrived, after we met parents and I arrived, we were married in her hometown. And then 3 more weeks of paperwork went on, and we were able to fly back to the United States, where we met my family. Now, I've told this story before, and as an example, that we accepted the challenge of attaining a worthwhile goal. We wanted to be husband and wife, and yet it was training for something much greater that was going to happen 10 years later, when we were called to the truth of God, which also has faith involved and many challenges. God likens the kingdom of heaven to a pearl of great price. If you take your Bible and turn to Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46, Matthew 13, 45, 46. Here Matthew, in a parable of giving different examples for the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 13, 45, 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant selling beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. From this parable, we learn that the kingdom of God, of heaven, God, is a valuable treasure. And yet, we have been called to be a part of it. What a great blessing this is. We have been shown a hope beyond this world, what it has to offer. No matter how a person is called to Christ's kingdom, its values and delights must be far beyond our imagination. We see around us today a sick, dying world where families are disintegrating. Life seems to be getting cheaper every day. People whose attention and priority and money is now focused on things like Christmas, Easter, birthday parties. There isn't much else for them to think about and look forward to. A lot of gift swapping and parties, and it's over for another year. People are also after the latest fad, smartphone, or what they can learn from Facebook, the latest song or movie. Well, others are saying, you can't miss this, be sure and see that. When we are more interested in accumulating and holding on to money, status, or pride and ego, and all the latest idols of the time, then we will not likely see or ever possess the kingdom of God. Jesus reveals more secrets to his disciples regarding the high value God places on the church. The parable of the pearl, Matthew 13:45, particularly reveals the high cost to God of acquiring potential members for his kingdom. Until we are baptized members in God's church, with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we cannot understand the full meaning of God's purpose and plan. This parable helps us to understand God's point of view. It's not just us seeking God, but it is Jesus Christ seeking us. In this case, we can be the pearl of great price to God Almighty. God is jealous and protective of us. So again, who does the merchant represent in Matthew 13:45-46? The merchant is seriously and purposely searching the world to secure the best and the costliest gems. It is his goal. He is persistent to travel extensively because he knows his efforts will be profitable when he finds the best and purchases them. Since Christ is the one who seeks the sinner, Luke 19:9-10, Luke 19:9-10, and John 6:44, then he can represent the merchant as he seeks for future members of God's church. The shepherd seeks the sheep, not the other way around. The use of the word seeking in Matthew 13:45 helps identify the merchant as Christ, as it means to depart from one place and arrive at another. Jesus did this to himself, to pay the price for the pearl. He departed from heaven and arrived on earth to complete his mission. He gave up everything. He sold all to possess us. Let's see this in 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. What is the significance of the pearl? Matthew 13:45. This is a description I found of how a pearl is formed. Quote, unlike other gems, pearls are produced by a living organism or on an oyster as the result of an injury. It usually begins forming around a grain of salt or an egg of some parasite that invaded the oyster. The oyster protects itself by layering the irritant with a substance called nacre, or mother of pearl. It's a shiny substance which coats the grain of sand until the pain and suffering is gone. And they say sometimes this can take years. This process forms an object of great beauty, a lustrous pearl. In a similar way, spiritually, we are an irritant, a parasite due to our nature and our sins. Romans 3:26. However, because God loves us, we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and gradually we can become a thing of beauty, clothed with the righteousness of him who bought us. Romans 3:24-26 and Ephesians 2:13. we can become like a pearl to God, to Jesus Christ. According to the scripture, by ourselves, we have no righteousness, no talents or goods or anything that's they're worth buying. But the doctrine of God's grace is essential in understanding this parable. We don't choose Christ, He chooses us. John chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Keep it up. John 15. We'll read verses 15, 16. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. The pearl represents a wonderful picture of the church in preparation for the kingdom of God. Our transformation into a spirit being resembles the process of creating a pearl. We are precious jewels as described in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17. In Malachi chapter 3, 17 says, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." There are steps involved in being part of the kingdom of God. We in God's church look forward to that time when God's kingdom will be accepted. Jesus Christ exclaimed, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." He tells us that in Matthew 7:21. This warning should cause us all to carefully consider our religious beliefs and actions. We must study the Bible, of course, and obey the rules and try to live by them. So why is this future conception of the kingdom so important? Why should we care about something that's going to happen later on? The fact is, our lives must be guided by a goal, some kind of a goal, a vision of what's coming in the future. Without a guiding vision or revelation with God, we will spiral away from God and ultimately perish. We can see that in Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, 18. As Paul said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." 1 Corinthians 15, 19. "And we will have no motivation to strive to follow him. The truth is, all we do for the future, God will bring, or it is all for nothing." Yet understanding the present sense of the kingdom of God is also very vital for us. For to attain to the foretold future, we must connect and submit to the rule of the kingdom today. We must be accepting kingdom now. We cannot enter the kingdom now, but we must receive it in a sense of accepting it and humbly submitting to it. And we must do this. Otherwise, we will not enter into the future. Note what Jesus said Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. That's Mark 10 and verse 15. Mark 10, verse 15. So we must receive it, accept it, right now, to enter it later. And we must do so with childlike trust and humility. We must believe in it now. We can't wait until it's too late. This reminds me of a discussion I had with a lady in the church. She had with her husband. He was never called to God's church, but he attended his Sunday-keeping church, and he faithfully studied his Bible until he died. His wife said that one time they were talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. Apparently, she reminded him that someday he too will be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, like she does. He must have said, "Well, why'd you say that?" And she referred him to Zechariah, where the Lord in the future rules over all the earth. That's found in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 19. Zechariah, last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah 14, 16 and 19. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, she asks him if this scripture was part of God's truth and God's word. And he admitted he knew the Bible, and he said, yes, it is. Then why don't you keep the Feast of Tabernacles like our church does? Well, she said he paused for a moment. And then he said, well, I don't have to do that right now in our church. But if someday I find out that I really need that, he says, I'll do it then. So he was faithfully keeping his church's holidays, which weren't in God's word, not in the Bible. But he didn't honor the ones that are in the Bible today. Of course, he's going to learn this in the future. Someday he'll know the truth. So as I read earlier, we must accept God's kingdom and study and be ready for it now. Right now, we can have the laws of the kingdom written in our hearts. And we can have the King of the kingdom live within our hearts to help obey those laws. Hebrews 8:10. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. We can live the future today, the future age breaking into our lives now, just as it did when Christ came teaching and performing miracles 2,000 years ago. The Bible describes those who were converted by God's Holy Spirit as those who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. So they learned then of something coming, just like we're learning now of something coming. Hebrews 6, verse 5. So we can see the Bible, from the Bible, that what we've just read, that we really must change. The parable of the pearl of great price and the parable just before it of the treasure hidden in the field, both in that same parable, same verse, reveal that there are steps involved in being a part of the kingdom of God. Step number one, we must be called to realize and understand that there is a treasure, a pearl of great price, waiting for us. In Ephesians 1, verses 17 and 19, Ephesians 1, 17 and 19, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance of the saints. So first we must have our eyes opened to the treasury of God that He has in store for us. The merchant finds out that there is this special pearl that he is looking for. Step number two, once we are called to see that there is a treasure for us, we must answer the call. Believe and earnestly seek and desire that treasure. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, we read, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." We need to be constantly burning desire to seek and hold on to the truth. The merchant was really excited and he wanted that special pearl in us. Step number three, we must sell all we have and go for it, as we say today. Go after that treasure. It must be the number one priority in our lives. Paul talked about a goal much greater than temporary worldly things in Philippians verse 3, chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, 7 through 14. You can read that at another time for the time's sake. The merchant sold everything he had to buy that special pearl. We too have trials and setbacks in our Christian life in seeking the kingdom. But God tells us in many places in His Word that it is all worth it. We too are working toward and looking forward to a marriage, aren't we? The marriage of the Lamb. God tells us that our puny minds can't begin to imagine what is in store for us if we would just stay the course and follow Him. How beautiful and harmonious it must be in His kingdom. A pearl is a beautiful, precious thing. A smooth, lustrous deposit formed around a grain of sand or similar irritating foreign material in the shells of certain mollusks. In biblical times, pearls were worn for adornment with affluent women. The Bible pearls have a part in the portrayal of the great beauty and preciousness of the New Jerusalem. In Revelation 21:21 says that 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made from one solid pearl. In summary, we have been offered a pearl of great price. And the price is not $128,000 like the pearls in my catalog that I had. No, there's a much, much greater price. It's the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The parable of the pearl shows these three steps in receiving the pearl. First, we must be called to see the treasure, the vision of the kingdom, His revealed truth. Two, we must answer that call, believe, repent, and desire that treasure with our whole hearts. And three, we must make sacrifices and give up everything we have to buy that pearl. We have been made a believer, and now we must take action and ask God for the gift of repentance. For one, for everything in our lives should be secondary to our relationship with God. Secondary to achieving the goal of the kingdom. It must be the number one priority in our lives. Brethren, we seek first the kingdom and earnestly desire to the end. God promises to give us the strength to stay with it to the end. The pearl of great price is within our grip, and we should look forward to it daily with all our hearts.